Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. I am so excited. I know that you are doing great things, Lord, and I can't wait to see what you do next. I believe that we are beginning a period of revival, a period of where your Holy Spirit is going to come in and overshadow this place. I can't wait for the good things that are going to happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your word that you have given to us. Open our hearts as we hear it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We have grown up in church hearing the word gospel. And for many of us, it probably automatically conjures up certain images or certain thoughts about what that is. I don't know, for some of us, it may just be gospel music that comes up in our head. But, or we might think about the four gospels. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call them the gospels. Mark even begins his by saying, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Or, we've been exposed to witnessing and how to do it. We might think of the gospel as simply the plan of salvation. We talk about sharing the gospel with people. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a term that's associated specifically with Christianity. You don't ever hear someone talk about the gospel of Mohammed or the gospel of Buddha. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. What does it mean anyway? Again, if you've been raised in church, you probably know that the word just means good news. And many English translations nowadays will even write good news as opposed to using the word gospel. They'll make that translation instead of using the single word that is from a single Greek word. We see it and we know what it means, but people who haven't been exposed to it don't necessarily know what it means. Now, given its, I'll say, essential nature, the gospel is the essential message of the Christian faith. Having a single and unique word that refers to the message is not a bad thing. But in the New Testament writers, because they did have a single Greek word, would often use it and refer to the gospel that, or the good news that way, using that word. So we have this word, the gospel. Paul even talks about if somebody's preaching to you a different gospel, that's, you know, it's not a good thing. But our world needs to know that the gospel truly is the good news. It is the good news. And we ought to be presenting it as the good news. And yes, one of the things that's lacking in our churches is that, you know, that God also is a God of justice and a God of judgment for those who refuse to do good and who will not choose Him. We don't need to leave that part out. But we don't ever need to forget that this is supposed to be good news. God loves you. He doesn't want that for you. He does not want the judgment. He does not want to throw you into hell. He wants you to be with Him in heaven. Because He loves you. He so loved the world that He gave His own Son. It's the good news. We've come to associate it with the basics of the message, but Jesus taught much more than this under the overall concept of the gospel, or what we'll call the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus, his message is summarized, though, in Mark in that way. He says that Jesus came to Galilee and preached the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. repent and believe in the gospel, or believe in the good news. Jesus did refer to his own message as the gospel or the good news. So what is the gospel of the kingdom? We see this phrase. It is the arrival of God's kingdom is good news. And Jesus ushered it in. And everything he taught about the kingdom of God is part of that good news. It's all good news. We stop short. It's good news because if Jesus is our Lord, we are part of God's kingdom. It is good news because life is better even here when we live it his way. It is good news because we have his kingdom on earth to look forward to. But our job while we're here is to be workers in his harvest and share that good news.
Amen.
So with that, let's look at Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness, Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest." Just some general notes. I didn't know how else to categorize these things. John the Baptist is also said to have preached the gospel in Luke 3:18. And indeed, he was the one proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming the coming of Jesus, which was the good news. The gospel begins with John the Baptist preaching. Jesus says that in verse 16. Jesus, as he is quoting, or reading actually, from the scroll of Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, he's reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, and the translation that Luke gives us, if you look in Isaiah, you'll find good news. If you look here, you'll find gospel. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world, he says in Matthew 24, before the end will come. And then he goes on in chapter 25 to teach more about the kingdom of God. We'll get to that. But everything that we needed to know, everything was set forth in the Old Testament. Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about that. He says it's all here. It was set forth by the law and the prophets. Jesus had a common practice while he was here. We read chapter 9, verse 35. It's almost an exact copy of chapter 4, verse 23. And I did see that when I did the search on the word kingdom and was preparing the first sermon, but I did not catch the significance of it the first time until I saw it again in chapter 9. But he made a practice of going from place to place, of sharing, teaching the good news. And he would always start in the synagogues, in the places there of Jewish worship. And he would also heal the people. Signs would follow as he taught. Now, this version that I read is the updated New American Standard that was, I think it was updated just last year, and they say every sickness and every disease. I believe they should have left that alone. I believe they should have left it the way it was in the previous version. And your version may differ, but every kind of sickness and every kind of disease, I think, would have been a better way to translate that, and some do translate it that way, because we do know that Jesus did not necessarily heal every single person. Mm-hmm. And it's an important thing to note, or else we can get caught up in this idea that somehow if we're not healed, we're second class. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough faith. But why did Jesus do these things? It says that he had compassion. He looked out and he had compassion on the people. He said that they were distressed. And what in the world did I write here? Sometimes I do that. That's what I wrote. Distressed and dispirited. I don't think I've ever seen that word in Braille written that way. But they, you know, these people that he's speaking to, for one thing, they don't have the truth yet. They don't have the whole message yet. They have the law, they have the prophets, they had the Pharisees, but the Pharisees got it wrong. Here they are, they're suffering under Roman rule. Their leaders, who should have given them comfort, instead were binding them up in rules and laws that went far beyond what God intended and totally missed the point. And so instead of getting the comfort that they should have gotten from their shepherds, they're oppressed further. And any supposed deliverers that would come along were doomed at best and frauds at worst. He said they're like sheep with no shepherd. Well, sheep with no shepherd will just wander around wherever the mood takes them, always looking for that tastier grass, mm-hmm. and in the process, wandering into danger. There's no protection. There's nobody looking out for them. They're food for the wolves. And so Jesus, looking out and considering these things, he says to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The people that God has prepared are ready. They're ready. They're waiting for somebody to tell them the good news. But there are too few. There are too few to bring them all in. And so he said, pray for workers. Now, why would he say, pray for workers? Why wouldn't he say, go be workers? Well, because these are his disciples. These are people that should already understand that they're supposed to be workers. They're already working with him. If he hasn't already, he's going to send them out and tell them to go into all the cities and to preach. And to share the good news. Disciples are already recruited for this purpose. And they will be sent out. But he's telling them, we need more. Ask for more. Now, the interesting thing is, they're going to come. Where are these people going to come from? Well, they're going to come from the same field that you're working in. In that statement, implied in that statement, is the idea of discipleship. Because where are you going to get more workers? Where are you going to get them from the field? There's not many people know yet. As they know, what is it they're going to do? Thus, as Jesus is about to leave them, we hear him tell the disciples and tell us, go into all the world and make disciples. Yes, the gospel begins with salvation. And absolutely, We need to share that part of the message. Because without that part of the message, nothing else matters. In fact, that's where many of our churches are going wrong. We're sharing all the good stuff about living a godly life, and we should. We're sharing the nice stuff, but we don't ever get back to the basic thing that if you don't know Jesus, it's not true for you.
That's true. Amen.
We've got to start there, yes. We've got to know Jesus. Jesus has to be our Lord. And there are those who are specifically gifted to be evangelists. And we see that even in Scripture. But we are all called to do it. And we need to be prepared at all times, like 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, to give an answer for the hope that we have. And how do we do that? Well, I've heard it said, and it is true, your own testimony, your own story is the most authentic thing that you can share. Because you know it, you believe it, it's how you came to Jesus.
Right.
It's the things that you have experienced. People can relate to that. People can know that you're relating at least what you believe, and you really believe it. But I have to ask you the question: is it truly a salvation story? Because if you've never actually committed your life and made Jesus your Lord, it's just a story of how you got in church and around some nice people. The salvation message is the Lord Jesus. That is the beginning of the gospel of the kingdom. So know the basics. Know how to witness. And we studied how to share your faith here a few years ago. But understand, to be able to share with somebody on that very basic level. Have answers to the most common questions. Those questions have changed over the years. There used to be a common ground that we all had. Even people who didn't believe had some grounding in the Bible, in church. There was an expectation that people would know certain things just because of the society. That's not as true as it used to be. Now we have different questions to address. We have to address whether God even exists in the first place in ways that we didn't used to have to address that so much. We have to address now the idea of sin because we have this idea now of relative truth. What's true for me is not true for, or what's true for you is not true for me. Well, no, truth is truth. But we have to go back. We have to go back to that now and establish that. So we're starting a few steps back than we might have a few years ago, and we need to be as ready as we can be for that.
Yeah.
Now I understand, because I say things like this, and I don't want people to get afraid of witnessing, afraid of sharing your faith, because again, your story matters. Your testimony matters. How you met Jesus matters. What he means to you matters. But be alert for those opportunities to share that. And you know what? Listen, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because he will show you. He will show you when to speak. If you're listening, he will show you when to speak. He'll also show you when to shut up. Because it's not always, not every time is the right time.
Right.
We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In fact, those people that are out there doing that kind of radical street witnessing, my prayer for them is just that they're truly led by the Holy Spirit. If you're not led by the Holy Spirit when you're doing that, well, God's word never returns void. I never want to say you're wasting your time, because God will use anything.
That's right.
But your time would be a whole lot better spent if you spent a lot of time in prayer first.
Right.
And make sure that you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, even in who you approach and then what you say. And I'm going to say that because I'm not a, that's not my gift. I'll just put it that way. But even I should be ready. I should be ready with that driver in the car. And I'll confess, I'm not always ready. So, you know, I'm a reserve personnel. They're not talking to me. I'm not talking to them. That's cool. But we need to be ready and looking for those opportunities, because most of the people, and this is true, and it's increasingly true in this day and age, most of the people around us do not know the truth. And they're dying. And they're going to hell unless you say something. The implications of Jesus' teaching, though, is that the good news doesn't stop at salvation. Jesus also taught us and showed us how to live. And those kingdom principles work. Loving God with all that we have and all that we are. Putting others before ourselves. Making good use of everything that God has given us. Living in obedience to His commandments. Sowing good seed and reaping the harvest. All of this, good news. You are free. You are free to live as your Creator intended you to live. Is that not good news?
That is good news.
Put away your sins.
Yes.
They seem pleasant, but they'll destroy you.
Yes, they will.
Don't be a slave to them. They are terrible, terrible masters. And Jesus has set you free.
Amen.
And oh, the joy when we realize that this is very good news.
It is good news. Amen.
So as we sharing the gospel of the kingdom involves making disciples. Sharing the fullness of Jesus' message means that part of that message is, and I've kind of said it already, but we're free not to sin. And before we know Jesus, we don't have that freedom. We are bound and determined. We're going to follow our fleshly lusts, and if we do anything right, it's only because it's almost by accident. And we've been taught well, and it is true. I'm working on writing a book, and one of the things that I felt like I had to do in there, I had to share the gospel.
Amen.
But I said, you know, I'm not going to tell you that you can't be happy. Yeah, you can be happy. I'm going to tell you that you can't have some success. Yeah, you can have some success. But I am going to suggest to you that the measure of happiness and the measure of success that you have is the measure to which you put God's law into practice. Because God's law works even if you don't know what it is that you're doing.
Right. Amen. Amen.
But we're free.
Yes.
We're free not to sin.
Amen.
You are not a sinner. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Amen, Lord.
Yes, you're going to mess up and sin.
Yes.
But you are not a sinner. That is not your practice. That is not what you want to do. And so we share with people. Here's the way to live. It works, and it'll bring you joy in the now. And the rewards, they're eternal.
Amen.
Every one of us, and I speak to myself as well, I feel like maybe I get a half of a pass because I'm serving as a pastor, but not really. Each and every one of us should have a disciple, at least one, because Jesus gave us that example. I don't know that we necessarily all need 12. Most of us probably can't handle 12.
Right. But
we should all have a disciple. Somebody that we're leading, somebody that we're teaching. We don't have to be, we just have to be, somebody said that I respect a lot. You just have to be a little further along.
Right.
To lead somebody else.
Amen.
But it doesn't work well unless you yourself are also a disciple. Now the word disciple, as you probably know, comes from the word discipline. We follow Jesus.
Amen.
If you find yourself, and I know that I'm speaking beyond the walls as well, but if you find yourself realizing that you never really learned, that in effect you're still a baby, look for somebody, look for a trustworthy mentor. Look for somebody that can teach you, that can help you to grow. Too many of us never went much beyond that salvation message. And so, we're unprepared for Satan's attacks, or just living in a tough world that's been corrupted by evil.
That's true.
And I would offer one more, just sort of an aside, that discipler that you choose, and that disciple that you choose, should probably be of the same sex.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just don't open yourself up to that problem.
Exactly.
So this is our call to action. Seek to understand and to gain the full counsel of God. Believe in the good news and share that good news, all of it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you gave us the good news. Thank you that we see it working out among us. That you are doing great and wonderful things. I am looking forward to seeing what happens next. Help us as we go forward from here to be a people and a church that spreads the good news wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.